right. This is a special episode of the Heartland Pod for July 4th, 2022. After the early part of this, I'm going to replay something we did last year with the Mount Rushmore. So if you want to stick around for something fun, if you're driving a long way, the Mount Rushmore can take you there.
That's super fun.
Yeah. I have Rachel Parker with me. We're sitting in my basement.
Happy 4th of July, Happy everybody. Fourth. Yeah. What a weird 4th it is.
It is.
Let's not pretend like it isn't. It's super strange.
It is a weird 4th.
It's really weird.
I can't recall. I mean, I'm 37. I don't remember a 4th of July where I felt like, I don't know, conflicted.
This shook?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'm still excited to celebrate the 4th and all that stuff, but, like, it definitely feels different this year.
Well, I mean, I think it's, you'd have to be willfully oblivious to not notice what happened to what I would call the common law last week. Like, it was just basically, like, so much of the common law was rewritten by, and not even nine people, really six people,
yeah,
who sit above impunity in a sense. Like, it's they can be, you know, impugned, but it's very difficult. And so we've all discussed this before, yeah, in our circles, yeah, but that, you know, basically the way the Constitution is structured is that there are these justices that are as close to kings as we have in our system of government.
That's right.
The Senate is bad enough, but the Senate, it's certainly difficult to get rid of them, but it's doable.
Right.
It's doable. It's not easy.
Well, we get a chance every 6 years.
Correct.
Right. We actually have, yes, that opportunity.
And it's you know, not a straightforward process. Like, we can't get rid of Mitch McConnell. It's very hard, but like there is a process for it.
Right.
And, you know, we're looking at Gorsuch and Kavanaugh and these, they're young.
It's like healthy-looking 55-year-old men.
Healthy-looking, middle-aged people that look like me.
Yeah. Great healthcare.
Yeah, with awesome healthcare. And no transparency into, right, how they work until they just hand down decisions that say the EPA doesn't have any jurisdiction over clean air anymore.
Right.
And that New York can't write its own gun regulations. But states can decide to outlaw abortion. So that's fine.
Seems to be one of the few things they can do.
Yeah.
One of the few things left on the table.
Like, I'm not a particularly jingoistic person. Listen, I'm a sucker for any level of fanfare. If there's food,
sure,
and things that blow up in the sky,
That's this weekend. That's
and
what
friends,
we're doing.
I'm going to go. You know, like, Christmas to me is a pagan holiday where there's food and presents and an excuse to hang out and watch movies all day and drink with my family and my friends. So,
yeah.
But I don't, it's hard to feel like this is the land of the free right now. Cause it right. isn't, it's not,
right.
It's not, it just isn't.
And the reason we're talking about that, A, obviously that's what's going on, but B, Rachel is here.
I'm in Warrensburg.
Rachel
guys.
Is in Warrensburg. Elliot is here with her. We have spent more than 24 hours now.
Yes.
Together.
Yes.
We went to a rally today here in Warrensburg in my town. And
that's why I came up here a little bit early.
Yeah, that's why Rachel was coming up to celebrate the 4th with us. We do a big thing. It's kind of it's second Christmas in our
and
world.
I heard when I discussed it with Adam last year, I had like just like pathetic FOMO, like ridiculous FOMO. And I was like, I saw the pictures of the brisket.
Yeah.
I heard about the fireworks
yeah.
in the backyard.
Yeah.
And I was like, if we can go somewhere next year, guess where I'm going? I'm going to stay at your house.
It sounds insane, but like one of the like top five reasons I wanted to always live in the county instead of the city limits was for 4th of July.
So you could blow up
specifically
some stuff in your backyard.
For 4th of July. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, I'm a sucker for fun. So
it's going to be a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we spent the day preparing and, smoking meats and going to a rally for abortion rights here in Warrensburg, where 100 people at least showed up. I think with the coming and going, I'm sure it was over that.
Yeah, I think at its densest point, it was probably close. Definitely over 75 people.
Oh yeah, no question. And
this is a town of how many?
Yeah, it's a little over 20,000 range.
So think about like the amount. That's
55,000 in the county.
Yeah.
Right.
So I talked to, well, you'll hear it just in a few minutes.
Yeah, we recorded while we were there.
Yeah, we got a chance to, Jess Piper came, I guess, down and over.
Yeah, a little down, mostly down. Yeah.
And so she got to see some people and talk to folks. And the sense that I got from people was this was a galvanizing experience. There were a lot of folks there where it was definitely not their first rodeo, for sure.
Yeah.
But there were a lot of other people that were just like, how do you do this protest thing?
Well, my wife, my wife, Amanda, she was, we all went together. My kids went, it was a family thing. And it's the first time she's done something like this. The first, and obviously for my kids, it's the first time. So it was neat to see that, but still not necessarily something that I wish we had to do with them, you know, not to force it, I guess.
Well, I think like whenever you are any kind of an advocate, however you define that, there's always this line that you're walking between. You have to stay motivated.
Yeah.
And the only one of the ways that it helps to stay motivated is when you are with like-minded people who are looking for ways to channel their outrage in positive and productive ways.
Yeah. Solidarity.
Solidarity is very important. And one of the things I think I said this while we were recording at the actual protest, but I can't remember, was that I was expecting some, I don't know, friction with the community.
Yeah.
I was expecting to see maybe a counter protest.
Yeah.
I was expecting to get some harassment from drivers by.
There was nothing.
There was one person.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And contrast that with an outpouring of solidarity from people driving by. And again, like
dozens of vehicles went by on this,
honking and waving, and one person stopped. And I think I said this.
It rained all morning.
A lot.
And it was like, it was kind of just a slow Saturday afternoon, and there was dozens of cars that went by, and still all those people that showed up.
Yeah, someone stopped in the middle of the street and screamed "Impeach Thomas" out of his car.
Yeah.
And let's just remind ourselves where we are.
Right.
We're not in Mid County St. Louis or downtown St. Louis or downtown Kansas City. We're in Warrensburg, Missouri. We're in
West Central Missouri.
Yeah. We "Impeach Thomas" came
miles
out of
away from
"Impeach Thomas."
Yeah.
Exactly. So, it's been a very challenging week for so many people.
Yeah.
The news that we're going to be getting about sexual assault victims, women unable to get healthcare access and so forth, it's going to get, I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that we are experiencing a sort of war at this point.
Yeah. There's a really slow trickle of stories, but I think that trickle is going to turn into
a full-on waterfall. And so I think if we don't at least, you know, everybody has to do what they think they need to do, right? I don't think there is a right. I don't think there's a right or a wrong way to be an activist, because you ultimately have to lean into the part of, you have to lean into something that feels most natural to you. And
the only
you can
wrong
up.
Way I can think of is to just be a Twitter person. Like if the only thing you're doing is tweeting, that I would say is, I'm not saying
that's
it's
not
wrong.
That's not activism. That's right.
Twitter.
It's just Twitter. And, you know, we use Twitter a lot for our stuff because it's how we promote our content.
It's a really good way to connect with people and communicate with a lot of people
at
once.
Yes.
But if you think that you're changing things with Twitter, probably not.
That's right. And likewise, I mean, it's a pie, right? Like there's all kinds of, and we are at the beginning of what is going to be an extremely onerous, challenging, painful process. And it's not,
this is a real look in the mirror, like a real one. When you turn the lights on and you don't suck it in
and there's going to be more. I mean, there's going to be more decisions, and you know, I feel like, you know, I've heard some experts on the court say about the court say that, and whether, you know, I certainly heartily disagree with this sentiment in terms of like why the court is behaving the way that it is, but there's no question that this is revenge against the actions of the court of the 1960s and early 1970s.
Yeah. It fits neatly into we've talked about it in, you know, different formats. It's the Democracy in Chains book. It's the Koch money. It's
the Federalist Society. Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
It's all that thread of these like very pro-business, anti-regulation, and largely religious billionaire, like massive billionaires who have pumped all this money into the think tanks and the society and just putting it all in one place and creating this giant thread made out of money that goes between all of them to create this linear, you know, a lot of people are starting to figure out the whole like, oh, the GOP has been really working in unison and lockstep toward these like very narrow specific goals. And that's what all of this is.
And in such a targeted way. Yes. Because when you, and I really, Adam knows this, you know this, but and Elliot's here and he's heard me say this many, many times, that I really reject the we have to learn from the Republicans sort of like
right.
We have to play from their playbook. We have to, they play the long game, blah, blah. Like, listen, it's not that hard to be a spear.
Yeah.
It's really not. You just have to keep throwing this stupid thing.
Right.
And the Democratic Party, such as it is, just problematic as it is, has become the default home of anybody to the left of batshit.
That's at this point, yeah.
So we are this phenomenally big tent, and our ideas of what goals are very different than
yeah.
We're going to take a saw, and we're just going to spend the next two congressional cycles gently sawing the leg of the stool, the chair, whatever, so much that nobody notices how weak right. The leg is. And then we're going to go in another one, and we're not going to take it off. We're just going to keep sawing, and then we're going to go in another one. Mm-hmm. And before these people know it, the whole thing's just going to slip out from underneath them.
That's right.
And that's just not what progressives do.
No.
Progressives try to make shit.
Right.
We don't try to destroy things.
Right.
We try to make things. Right. And so it's a different goal. It's a different set of goals. It's a different set of objectives. And I was talking to a bunch of people today about
this.
That's
very well put.
Thank you. And because you see it happening. Yeah. I mean, it happened with, I mean, just don't, we were talking about this in the car on the way to the protest, that like, how many of the justices that we are talking about right now were appointed by a man whose last name was Bush?
Several.
So.
Three of the six.
Yes. Three of the six were appointed by two men named Bush.
Yep.
And it would be four, except one died.
Right.
And I think the other one retired, right? Like, yeah. It's absurd how much influence the Bush dynasty has had on the Supreme Court. So that's all they wanted.
Right.
They didn't want anything else.
Yes, that's right.
They really didn't want anything that's else. Right. And there's some nuance there. And you could say, well, if Scalia were alive, I don't think he would have written this, whatever. But I really want to...
Which is what I did say earlier, which is why she did that.
Yeah,
it was very funny.
You did tell me that. It was very interesting. It was very interesting because we drove by where Adam went to... undergrad.
Yeah.
And you talked about, or law school. Sorry, law
undergrad,
school. Undergrad. Yeah. And you talked about a dinner you went to where you met Scalia and
yeah.
Kind of pressed him a little bit, which is a whole other story that you should.
Yeah, it's a whole other thing.
You should totally do like an opening statement about this one because it's a pretty fascinating story. Adam giving shit to the late Justice Scalia is pretty awesome. But I, you know, I don't know that. There's all kinds of hot takes. This is what I'm going to say. Mm-hmm. I'll stop. I'll go here. Speaking of Twitter and speaking of where everyone's heart is right now, a lot of hot takes.
Yeah.
A lot of hot takes out there right now. Hella hot takes, I'll say. And
could be a segment.
I've seen a lot of very kind people. I feel like Crystal Quaid said this. Some St. Louis activists I respect a lot said this. It's okay for you to live your life right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a traumatic time, but it's okay to live your life. And you have to find ways to take a step back, take a deep breath, regroup, because you're not going to solve everything by yourself.
That's right.
And it's going to take us some time to strategize and dig in our heels. And you're also allowed to be furious.
That's right.
And angry and hurt and full of rage and frustrated that these power structures very rarely work in the favor of most people.
Yeah.
Our system of government is set up to prevent people. It's to prevent populism.
Yeah.
It really is. The whole thing is set up to stop common people from taking power. That's how the Constitution was written. Yeah. It's a democracy in quotes.
Right.
It's, you know, so it's okay to be pissed off at all of that. But if you find yourself like enjoying yourself this weekend, or yeah, I mean, by the time you're listening to this, it's going to be on the 4th.
Yeah, on the 4th. Have a good time today. Enjoy the people around you today.
And when you go to protest marches, when you go to rallies, if you feel yourself smiling because some of the signs are so clever. Amazing, and if you feel yourself getting moved by the presence of families, and like there were two little girls. I can't remember what they were.
They were leading the chant.
My body,
my choice.
Oh, my body, my choice. That's right. So a little two tiny little girls.
Yeah, they were probably 5, 6. Yeah, like they were
body,
young.
Like little baby things. You couldn't hear them on the mics. I know you couldn't.
Yeah, yeah.
And I found myself like smiling because it was awesome because they're right. They're saying they're speaking the truth. And so
by the way, in 5 or 6 years,
yeah,
that could be a story.
That's right.
I mean, and that's what's so important.
That's what's so important about it.
People go, well, why should kids be there? It's like, what are you talking about? Kids are gonna be pregnant. Kids are gonna be having forced births. Kids are going to be
their,
dying.
And it's also like it's their world. They have to learn. We're in a place right now where it's extremely valuable. I love when people say that when they're like, well, I wouldn't have brought my children. I'm like, well, black folks did during the civil rights movement.
Right.
They brought children.
And their kids learned reality.
Yeah. They brought children to protest because they wanted their children to see how to make the world a safer and better place for them, their communities. That is important.
Right. Today, my 7-year-old son stood with, I don't know, 65-70% women in that crowd and watch women lead that
of
crowd.
Of all ages, too.
Yeah, of all ages.
Like older women all the way down to college students, high school students.
We talk about it in the main part of the recording coming up here. The cross-section that was at this event in this small town
town.
A reasonably rural area. I mean, we're in my backyard. We're sitting... Right now, we're 200 yards from a cornfield. Like, it's a fairly rural area.
We're definitely rural Missouri.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I say this, I think I said this when we were at the protest, that I've said this also on the podcast a lot, that, like, it's the reason that gun control is so incredibly difficult is because when it is incredibly hard. As dysfunctional and sort of stacked against us as our democracy is, it still is one.
Right.
For now.
Mm-hmm.
It's a weakened one for sure. And in a democracy, it's real hard. That's why austerity fails.
Right.
It's very difficult to take things away from people.
Yes.
As soon as you feel entitled to this thing, and if they say tomorrow... Yeah, to me, this is it's crueler in a sense, maybe not, but it would be tantamount to taking away Social Security.
Right.
We're just going to get rid of Social Security entirely, like the system. I mean, as it is, it should be much more.
Right. If the Supreme Court made a ruling and
yes, they could.
And 23 states had a law on the books.
Yeah.
That said, if the Supreme Court says that we cut off state funding too,
and they want to, don't get it twisted. They want to.
2 weeks later, 15% of society was suddenly penniless.
Right.
And because that's what happened.
Right. So it's something that cataclysmic, everybody would lose, justifiably so, lose their minds. So that's what just happened, only it's more violent in a sense, I think.
Yeah.
And I don't think that anyone is prepared on the Republican side for what tomorrow looks like, let alone today.
That's right.
So the most important thing that we can do is help each other. And we're going to have to take this, one miserable, shitty day at a time.
Yeah.
And the way to get through that is that when your friend's like, do you want to come to my house and eat my brisket and meet, like, bond with my children and spend some quality time with my wife and watch me blow up a bunch of stuff in my backyard? You're like, yeah, I should probably totally do that.
Yeah, it's very similar to when, you know, if a demon asks you if you're a god, you say yes. Everybody knows that. It's basic stuff. Ray didn't know that, but everybody else knows that. So let's get it to the show. I will just say, and I think Rachel had a couple of comments. It was exciting. It was enthralling. The energy was great. So we're very hyped up. Some of the people are very hyped up. And I think, you know, so there may be some hyperbole, some hyperbolic slips.
I went to protest in St. Louis. I've been to a lot of protests in my life, and they are of ranging sizes. But I think this feels to me like the protest during 2020.
Yeah,
there is this time it's differentness, which is one of the reasons that this happened.
Right,
is because they know it's different too.
I was at a protest here, same place.
Yeah,
in 2020, right after George Floyd was murdered, and. I would say the crowd was, the crowd was probably double the size of the one today, but it was also like that issue.
Well, this is also a holiday weekend.
This is a holiday weekend.
So
that's true.
So, and on that note, I want to say too, for people who live in metros, if you live in a major metro, don't snooze on the rural towns
That's right.
around you. They need, if you know and you can get there, if you know when it is and if you can get there, if it's not too long of a drive, you can take off work, whatever it is. And I don't just mean Jeff City. I mean, there are mm-hmm. communities all over Missouri and Ohio and Indiana and Tennessee and
Rolla
Nebraska.
Had a pride event this year.
Yeah.
Phelps County, Missouri. Yeah. I mean, that's wild.
You should go. They need people in the streets with them just as much as they do anywhere else.
And that's why it was so cool to have Jess Piper there today. I mean, she obviously, you know, she is the dirt road Democrat. She's like, you know, one of the, I mean, I'm at least regionally, she's got to be one of the best well-known.
Oh, I think I would argue that Jess Piper is the most well-known dirt road Democrat in Missouri right now, for
yeah,
sure. 100%.
For sure. And like her being there, there were people, we talk about it, it shows up, like there were people like looking at their phones and checking their TikTok to make sure that was her, right? And it was like, oh, like this is a
and that's
big
how
deal.
You build, and that's how you build movements.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how you build movements.
Well, let's get to it. This was a lot of fun. I'm glad you're here.
I'm glad I'm here
this
too.
This is great. We're going to have a great time. By the time you guys hear this, we will be recovering from a pretty epic day. And I hope you guys have an epic day too. I hope you have fun.
And we'll dig in. We'll do what we got to do.
All right, we're here for a special Heartland Pod. We're doing it live from the courthouse lawn in Warrensburg, Missouri. Rachel is here with me.
Hello.
Rachel Parker herself. This is Adam Summer, and we're here because there's a rally here today. What do you think, Rachel?
Well, I think, you know, first of all, I just want to thank you for telling me about this because there's so much going on right now.
There's a million of these.
And it's hard to keep track of. That's one of the things that I think is so important about what we talk about.
Right.
When we talk about changing the conversation. There aren't just liberals and progressives in St. Louis and Kansas City and Columbia. Warrensburg is central western Missouri.
Yes.
Most people think it's just a little dot off of Highway 70. And certainly on a map, that's what it looks like. But there's definitely more people here than were at our live pod event.
Yeah, and it's not even time for it to start.
There's still people trickling in. We were, as folks were setting up and we were setting up our equipment, someone drove by, honked, and I thought, oh boy, here we go.
Right.
And yelled, impeach Clarence Thomas as loud as he could and stopped in the middle of the street to yell that over and over and over and over and over again. So I think that's important to remember that one of the things that we have to do as we start to energize this movement in a post-Roe Missouri and a post-Roe Heartland Midwestern area is connect these dots between the stakeholders and places like everything in between Kansas City and St. Louis.
Right.
And Springfield and, you know, northern Missouri. Like,
absolutely.
All of those places need to be connected between people like us.
Yes. Absolutely.
Because we are not alone.
And I see Mr. James himself coming up here.
Looks like everybody here right now is already registered, but, you know,
good.
You always got to carry him with you.
So, give him the microphone there quick. So.
Yeah, I was saying that.
Tell us who you are for the show.
I'm Raymond James. I'm the chair of the Johnson County Democratic Party, which is not as impressive as you might think, but it's okay. We'll
it's
be
a labor
there.
Of love.
But anyway, I was saying that you carry your voter registration applications with you because you never know when you're going to run into somebody. But there's also the... you know, you can direct them to the Secretary of State's website.
Yeah.
And there's many folks that are smarter than I am with computers. They've got a little funny looking square with little ink dot stuff. And you do something with your cell phone and it takes you right there to that page.
Yeah, a QR code. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for telling me what that is.
Absolutely.
As you can see, I kind of know the word internet and that's about it. But anyway, you can register online. The important thing about registration that I think some people forget is, you know, they just change apartments within the same apartment complex.
Right. You still have to change it.
And you change your address, you got to re-register.
That's right.
You'll be okay for a year or so, but if you don't change that, you'll get dropped. So
absolutely.
Can't stress it enough. Every time you change your snail mail, even if you don't get anything from the post office, change your registration.
Absolutely.
So that you're that you stay. And then, of course, if you was going to the poll every time, it's not every 4 years, it's every year there's some kind of election somewhere
right.
that you need to be participating in. Tell people what you want and make your voices heard.
Absolutely.
So thanks for being here today. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Yeah. We're
really
going
to
get the word out.
So
that was Raymond James, chair of the Democratic Party for Johnson County. And now standing in front of me is Jessica Piper herself and Rachel. And if you listen to the show and you follow us on Twitter or social, you've seen Rachel before, because Rachel is the person who is sitting on the sidewalk by herself and is really the reason most of us are here today, I think, why this is able to come together so much. So Rachel, tell us about yourself and like tell us about that day.
Basically I was in the same boat a lot of us were in, where I woke up one day and the draft had leaked,
right.
Talking about potentially overturning Roe v. Wade, and here we are in that reality.
Right.
But that day I grew up here a lot of the for most of my life. And I just feel like there isn't the same level of representation that there needs to be.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like it accurately reflects where a lot of the people in this town sit on this issue.
I'm turning my microphone over to Jessica Piper to talk. So.
Well, I was so impressed with you. Adam sent me the picture, and I said, oh, my gosh, can I use this picture? This girl is the embodiment of bravery, of everything we need in this state. And he said, yeah, go for it. So I don't know if you know, but I used you on social media. I put a TikTok
on
there.
Yes,
got about 20,000 likes, so it was okay on TikTok. And I think everyone really realized what it means to be from a small town and how much bravery that took. So I would love for you to talk more about that. Was what happened that day? Did anybody say anything to you? Can you tell us more about it?
I wasn't out here for too long. I end up having to do these things between shifts sometimes. I'm a server here in town.
Okay.
But basically I woke up and I was just kind of overwhelmed with this sense of a lack of agency mm-hmm. when it comes to these things. We don't have a lot of community building in this town, mm-hmm. A lot of community in order to seek that type of support when mm-hmm. you feel that way.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to see something
yeah.
in this town. And so I woke up and the paint was still wet on the sign by the time I got out here, actually. But no, I just drove to Dollar Tree, grabbed a sign, said what I feel is a fact, and what is a fact is that abortion is healthcare. And it should not be a controversial statement.
Exactly. The same way I feel it shouldn't be political. It's about our bodies, right? And 50% of us in this state lost our body autonomy. And so mm-hmm. I'm so impressed with you. You're so young and standing up. And you are building community. And you can look around you right now and see what happens when people like you show up. And that's what it's all about, right? Adam just showing up and giving a shit, right?
Right.
And she did that. I'm very impressed.
Thank you.
Yeah, and that was, you know, that's why I stopped, right? Because I saw you, and I went, hey, it was picturesque, right, because of the flags around.
The flags was a nice touch
right.
when it came to the statement.
But just the courage to do it, because it's one thing to be here today, right? And we're seeing people are figuring out that Jessica Piper is here, and they're looking at her TikTok to confirm that she's here. So that's what it's like to be with a celebrity. But, you know, being here with all these people, right? My kids are here. My son's sitting right next to us, mm-hmm. right? We're all here now, and you made us all look at it and go, well, we should be out there, right? We should be out there. It shouldn't be alone. Rachel shouldn't be there alone. And the second time, right, the mm-hmm. second picture when you were back out and I stopped, it was an interesting interaction because you and I talked a lot more that mm-hmm. time. And then one person drove by and was like, yeah, you know, giving us encouragement, right? And then the next person that stopped, it was really interesting because, like, I was just a guy in a suit standing there, like, mm-hmm. kind of almost standing over you a little bit because we were talking, and a guy stopped and was like, are you okay? Do you need help?
Right.
Right? Which was great. I was like, and it took me a second because I, like, started to respond, and I was like, this guy does not need me to respond. Like, he doesn't care what I have to say. But I was encouraged by, like, that was the response that we were getting, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Absolutely. That day, actually, shortly after you left, I sat and had a conversation with a man for about an hour.
Wow.
A man who's been traveling around the United States and just kind of ended up in Warrensburg, Missouri, which is more common than you think.
Right.
And we actually had a really excellent conversation about meeting in the middle a little bit about this issue. He came from a different perspective where he just didn't know a lot.
Right.
But wonderful conversation.
It feels like that's what, like, the catalyst of, you know, Roe being overturned is turning into an educational opportunity for a lot of people right now.
A lot of people simply don't have the exposure.
Right. I mean, I can tell you a year and a half ago, if you had asked me my thoughts on abortion, I would have given you the, it should be safe and legal, but I think it's a bad thing. I did not know. Mm-hmm. Right. I couldn't have told you what a DNC actually was. Right? I couldn't have told you that that's an abortive procedure. I couldn't have told you all of those things. Now I can. And the more I know about it, the more I realize I'm like, oh, no, I'm absolutely pro-abortion, right? Like, as a medical procedure, I didn't understand it in that way. Mm-hmm. And it's helped, you know, I was there before the Dobbs case, but, like, it has really, I think, helped a lot of people see exactly that type of thing.
And regardless of the need or all of these special circumstances that people bring up, you know, as exceptions to this kind of, like, moral issue that they bring into it, the fact is that it simply is your choice.
Right.
It is your body. Well, and you need not explain.
The inherent nature of morality, right, is it's yours, not mine. Right. Like, our morals don't have to be the same for us to coexist.
Right.
So.
And
well,
this.
Thank you for being here today.
Absolutely.
Thank you for getting us started on this. I'll let you get back to doing what we're here to do.
Thank you very much.
That's nice Rachel, everybody. Not the Rachel you're used to hearing. The other Rachel. And there's people celebrating. Awesome. All right, we're back. It's Rachel Parker's back with me. This crowd is growing.
Yeah, this is, I've been to protests, and, well, I should say this is really a, I said that we could call this a protest. This is a, I've seen smaller protests in St. Louis over much bigger issues than this.
Yeah, I mean, you guys can hear it probably on the mics at this point. This is a decent enough crowd to make some sound, making some serious sound.
Yeah, I think I was just talking to Rachel again, and I've been speaking to some other people.
Yeah, people are coming to get cookies. Somebody brought some cookies. People are grabbing them. It's awesome.
And I'm going to read a sign that says Joe Manchin. Okay, let me see what it says. Do you want to read it?
No, because I didn't
write it. Okay. Oh, gosh. It says, Joe Manchin, your mother grew a pair for you to use. Abolish the filibuster.
Woo.
That's pretty great. And the other sign says, Governor Parson, our blood is on your hands.
Is that your sign? Say, give her, what's your name?
My name is Heather Worsing.
Well, Heather, thanks for being here today.
Yeah, no, happy to be here. Glad to see so many people are out here today. So,
this is very good.
Where are you from? I live here in Warrensburg. Not from here originally, but live here now.
Have you seen this kind of mobilization before on a similar situation, or is this?
No. We did another march not too long ago. Not as many people, but still not enough people. But
it's a start, right?
It's a start.
It's a start. Well, we know there'll probably be more.
Yes, there will be more, definitely. And there's a ton this weekend. There's a ton of 4th of July in the Kansas City area. Huge one down at Mill Creek Park.
Well, make sure to find us on Twitter and tweet us when you're. We'd love to see the pictures from Kansas City.
Yeah, definitely. I'll definitely share it with
you. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I mean, it's really cool, too, seeing the cross section that's here.
Like, yeah, this is what we mean by intersectional.
Right. Did you expect to come to my rural town in West Central Missouri and be at a heavily intersectional abortion rally?
I mean, at this point in my life, the answer to that is yes, because I've lived in a lot of places, and the places that people think of as being kind of the intersectional places are not as intersectional as you think they are.
Right.
And the places that you think of as being sort of majority something are far more intersectional than people assume. So I'm not personally surprised, but I think a lot of people would genuinely be surprised.
And I've got to imagine this is a little suppressed by the fact that it's rained
all morning. Yeah.
And it just stopped.
It just stopped.
Just in time for this group to be here.
And I think, too, that one of the things that I want to comment on is that I've done, you know, similarly sized rallies again in St. Louis and have been harassed and in places where you wouldn't think that would happen.
Right.
Like downtown St. Louis.
Right.
And
it's early enough. We may still see some pushback here, but everything's been supportive
people,
so far.
People that have driven by, there haven't been that many cars, but the people that have driven by have all been certainly like on the, I would say, either indifferent or pro-abortion side. I haven't heard anybody, you know, certainly there's not any counter-protesters here, which I think that alone says a lot.
It's interesting, too, because this was reasonably publicized.
Yeah.
Like this was not a secret. And the fact there's no counter protest is interesting.
I do think that's interesting. And I do think it's because I do feel like we've talked about this before in the pod, that I do feel like we're kind of in like this, the dog caught the car moment.
Right.
And the dog in our state is named Eric Schmidt.
Right.
And I think it's just occurring to him that he is not sure how he's going to enforce this law.
Right.
The law right. gives him very broad discretion to prosecute doctors, to prosecute patients, to prosecute providers, to prosecute the friends of people that provide access to their right. friends to those facilitators
right.
of healthcare. And there has not been yet a concise statement outside of Twitter.
Right.
Governor Parson tweeted, "I'm not going to do any of that stuff." And
right.
we're like, dude, forgive us for not trusting you, but a tweet, is that binding in court?
Right.
Like, and it did was from his official account. And Eric Schmidt has also not said anything conclusive about how he plans on.
Right. And he could.
He could at any point. So I think that's perhaps one of the reasons that the other side is sort of, maybe it, at least right now, I think they feel like they've kind of done their work. Like their work is sort of done here. They're
right. Here they go. There goes the crowd. Pretty good.
But I'll say too, since we didn't have a chance to jump on that, we were going to try to maybe jump on the mic a little bit this week just to talk about some of the reactions from
right.
Missouri state legislatures and or legislators, I should say. And people that you would think would be crowing about it have been very proud of themselves.
Yes.
And then indignant and apoplectic when we have the audacity to ask for clarification
That's
about
right.
how they're going to punish rape victims, about whether
right.
or not hospital systems were overreacting by saying we're no longer going to provide Plan B contraception to women who are sexually assaulted.
Right. Within 48 hours.
Right.
Like,
and like
happening.
One was Mary Elizabeth Coleman, who basically was like, ugh,
right.
you guys.
Right.
Like, whatever. Of course they can provide Plan B. And we're like, well, we don't.
Nobody knows.
The law
it is
so
unclear.
Poorly
it is
written
vague.
And so broad.
And if you're providing legal counsel to these hospitals, A, if you're St. Luke's, right, you're already probably predisposed to go that direction. But if you're providing
Correct.
Legal representation, you have to give them, you know, here's what I know, here's what's for sure, and here's what I don't know. And what I don't know is, what can you actually be prosecuted for?
That's
because
right.
it's so
That's
vague.
Right.
And so if you're talking about risk, you know, management, the risk management right now is to do nothing.
But
I
can
mean,
you imagine
is.
If you were, I don't know that this happened necessarily, I'm just being completely theoretical, but there could have been people who were being examined at post a sexual trauma
right.
at a St. Luke's hospital in the Kansas City area
yeah.
during the time that they said we're not going to provide emergency contraception.
That's right.
And you could have been sitting in an exam room after having just had something that most people would never, it's basically your worst nightmare.
Right.
And being told, like, we're not sure that we can provide this treatment for you. Can you sit tight while we talk to the lawyers?
And that's the part of this that I think gets lost is, like, it's really easy to go, you know, oh, now that abortion is illegal, nobody can kill babies, right? That's the argument against abortion is
baby killer.
But those people never talk about the nuance parts of this. I mean, it's just insane. Now we got Jess Piper leading the crowd. Just a reminder, in 2020, this county voted about 65% for Donald Trump.
And there is not an insignificant amount of people here. There, since we started, I'd say the crowd has tripled.
Yeah.
And again, like, I'm someone who's been to protest marches and rallies in the city of St. Louis, and there have been smaller turnouts for bigger issues than this.
Absolutely.
For sure.
All right. We're back. We're still at the rally, and I have the organizer here. What's your name?
Hello. My name is Kennedy Keel.
Kennedy, you put this together. What's your goal here? What are you trying to do?
I am trying to make sure the voices of everyone that is against the overturning of Roe v. Wade in my area are heard, and hopefully some change comes about soon.
How do you feel about turnout?
I think it's a pretty good turnout, especially considering the weather difficulties right. and the fact that it is the 4th of July weekend.
Right. Looks like I've got about 100 folks or so. It's not bad.
I am also hoping to organize another protest in the near future so that those who were not able to be here today can be here the next one, and we can also keep pushing this point so that the people who make these laws get to hear that we are totally against the overturning of Roe v. Wade.
How do you feel being here in a, you know, this is a fairly rural area, fairly red area. How do you feel being out and about and doing this stuff? Do you feel any safety issues? Do you feel like, how does that ever weigh on you?
So this is actually the first protest I've organized. I come from Sedalia, so I'd say it's only slightly bigger than here, and I feel pretty safe here. Had the support of the police department yeah. of making sure we are protected today, and it doesn't look like we have any counter-protests showing up today, right. so it's looking pretty good for us.
Yeah, I noticed, you know, we had police go by, but we don't have a presence. There's not a big thing. It's been mostly supportive today.
Yes. I know that a lot of the police department said that they would be busy since it is the 4th of July weekend.
Right.
But if we did need anything, that they would be able to come as soon as we called and that they are here to protect us. So hopefully that we don't need that. And we will have a safe protest today.
Yeah. Well, Kennedy, thanks for putting it together. Thanks for joining me over here on the pod for a minute.
Thank you.
Well, this has been good. What is your observation, Rachel?
Really good signs.
Really good signs.
I'll post. We have a bunch of really great stuff. I don't want to put any spoilers, but some really good signs. Really good vibes. Like, I feel like more. That there's more solidarity out yeah. here. I just saw a headline. I'm a little bit choked up. Ellie just showed me a headline that said that a 10-year-old girl had to seek an abortion outside of Ohio.
Wow.
And I've said this privately, and I've hinted in when I've been rage tweeting lately about how one of the things that this country is not prepared for
right.
is the headlines that are going to follow. And she had to go to Indiana to seek abortion care, and the wow. doctor that gave her a 10-year-old child an abortion
right.
a 10-year-old child an abortion basically stated to the press officially that he's not entirely sure how much longer he's going to be able to even provide the procedure in Indiana, which means
wow.
that the next headlines that are coming are going to be far more traumatic
right.
and I guess the comfort that I can leave here today with is that, you know, it's one thing when you see movements happen in New York City and even that kind of tri-state area
right.
or, you know, anywhere on the West Coast.
Right.
It's expected.
Right.
And the state is fully prepared to ignore those movements or even put them down.
Right.
They expect to see those movements coming from places, especially like St. Louis.
Right.
Due to its, you know, more recent 10-year history or so.
Right.
This is Michael Brown. No one can put down a movement that is as big as they don't understand how large this movement is going to be.
I think that's right.
And I was just having a conversation with some of the locals here talking about the relationships between law enforcement locally here in Warrensburg.
Yeah.
And that, you know, if I had to pick right now, I would way rather deal with law enforcement from Warrensburg, Missouri than I would St. Louis, Missouri.
Yeah.
And it's because these are real communities. These
right.
people have relationships with each other.
That's right.
So I don't know how it's really going to go down where if you're the Attorney General of Missouri, that you're going to issue a warrant for a 10-year-old child to be arrested
right.
in Warrensburg, Missouri. Someone's
right.
going to have to serve that warrant.
That's right.
I don't think they understand what the consequences of that are going to be. And you can't, I mean, I hope people can hear how loud this is. This is a much bigger, it's the crowd's grown
it
more.
It has grown, yeah.
Since we were off the mic for maybe the better part of an hour, I guess,
yeah.
probably. And since that time, the crowd's gotten even bigger. And I don't think that this is something that people are prepared in on the Eric Schmidt side of things and the Mike Parson side of things and the Clarence Thomas side of things and the all of the various groups in Kansas that are certainly doing everything they can to make abortion illegal there.
Right.
The groups in Indiana that have done everything they can to make abortion illegal there.
Right.
I don't think they're ready to respond to these people.
Right.
They don't have an answer for them.
And there's a lot of them.
There's a lot of them, and I don't think they're quite ready for they're not ready to have these conversations. They're not ready to clarify their laws.
Right.
They're not ready to clarify these nuanced things about, like, children get raped.
Right.
What are you going to do about that?
Yeah.
So now are we going to start talking about carve-out legislation?
Right.
Are we going to start talking about the exceptions to the exceptions to the exceptions to the exceptions? Are you going to turn that into a campaign platform, Eric Schmidt?
Right.
What are you going to fucking say to all these people now?
Right.
And the answer is, I don't know.
I think you're right. I think you're right. And it's, you know, it strikes me looking around this group. I see a cowboy hat, right? I see all different ages. I see people who look completely different from one another, you know, and we're in a downtown of a fairly rural area outside of a city.
And right? it's racially diverse. There's a lot of age diversity.
Yes.
There's a lot of gender diversity. There's a lot, I would say, kind of lifestyle diversity. I see a lot of folks with, like, a lot of tattoos, and I see a lot of folks that probably will never get a tattoo in their entire
right,
life.
Exactly.
Like, so if this is happening here today, and I was just talking to people who are more familiar with activism on this side of the state than mine, that is that there are protests that are going to be happening all over Kansas City tomorrow and all throughout the rest of the weekend. So there this isn't going to stop.
Right.
This is not – you can't wholesale take away – something as fundamental of a right as a healthcare procedure to several generations worth of people who have been raised with the expectation they could get it whenever they wanted in a safe and legal way.
Yeah, absolutely. People are bringing reinforcements. There's bottled water and stuff. This is great. Well, we'll wrap
up. I'm sure it's not going to be the last.
No, we'll wrap up the live audio from this today. And this is fun.
Yeah, it is fun. Happy 4th, everybody.
Happy 4th.
The Heartland Pod is a production of Midmap Media, LLC. Follow us on Twitter with @TheHeartlandPod. With email, you can reach us, heartlandpod2020@gmail.com, online with heartlandpod.com. Subscribe, and please sign up for our Patreon with patreon.com/heartlandpod. Become a podhead or an official podgressive today and unlock all of our content. See you at the next show.